Hey, everybody. Just finished recording probably the longest episode in the brief history of the South Carolina Pro Wrestling Report. Welcome to Behind the Scenes. This is episode 15. But it was good. Had a great conversation with Brad about APW, and had a great conversation with Joseph about PCW and other things. So thanks to both of those guys. Trying something new, but it was good. Went much longer than I anticipated, but it was great. I had a lot of fun, and I hope they did too. So this is episode 15, I think. I've kind of lost count. So let's just jump right into it. Heard a rumor this weekend, and I called this. All right, if this is true, I called this a few months ago, okay? Because people were picking this wrestler to win a certain match in a certain title. It didn't happen. And I wondered aloud on this show, behind the scenes, I wondered if it had anything to do with the possibility of them signing somewhere else. I was assured that what happened was part of the plan. But here's the deal. Heard this weekend that James Drake possibly signing with Evolve. That's something that's been battered around, but I am hearing that that is going to happen. And so if it is, man, congratulations. I have looked to see if this has been reported or that. Again, at this time, it's just a rumor. Just a rumor I heard. So I am waiting for a confirmation on this, but I am reporting it as a rumor. And if you follow, which I am at James Drake's Twitter right now, and it's some Evolve. It's a lot of Evolve stuff. He's going to be, man, this weekend he's wrestling Evolve. Keith Lee. Are you serious? So, there you go. I think this is a done deal. I think this is happening. And if I'm wrong, I'll come back on here and say, hey, I was wrong. So, that's what I'm hearing. Secondly, in honor of the I Quit match coming up this weekend in PWX, let's talk about where you never say I quit in wrestling unless you mean it. Had a situation where a manager was not happy with some things, called the promoter and said I quit. When the manager, Jerry Leonard, he quit. He didn't like the way something went. And when the bookers called to thank him for his time, thank him for his service, he's like, well, you know, I didn't really mean it. And they informed him, that's not how this works. If you know, if it's even in your heart or your head that you want to quit, then you're not fully committed to what we're trying to do. And they thanked him for his time and wished him well in his future endeavors. And it was a smart move. It was one of those cases. It was one of those cases where cooler heads could have prevailed. And if he had kind of taken the time, taken a couple of deep breaths, thought about it, maybe he wouldn't have said he quit. Maybe he wouldn't have said you know, what was in his mind. So, yeah, they're moving forward. He will not be – not going to be there as far as I am aware. I guess we'll find out Saturday night. So don't, you know, it's like a regular job. You know, if you go in, you tell them you quit, hand in your notice. Very few jobs would let you walk back in and be like, yeah, you know what? I've thought about it, changed my mind. Now, sometimes if you try to quit, your boss will try to talk you out of it. I can tell you this. I don't think that happened in this situation. I don't think there was a lot of begging and pleading. And it's just very interesting. There is a, Very interesting. That's just how I'll leave it. So if you're getting involved in wrestling, don't say, I quit. A couple of weeks ago, there was a post on Facebook. There was a show I was very excited about. I wasn't going to be able to be there, but I was excited about it. I mean, I had the guys on my show, Pro Wrestling Turbo. Had those guys on my podcast. Talked about their show. And they talked about some guys being on their show who have typically not wrestled in South Carolina. And really pumped that. They were pumped, you know, really pushed that, pumped it. And I was pumped that these guys were coming in to the state. And then it was announced that these two wrestlers, and here's how it was worded. You know, due to unforeseen circumstances, so-and-so will not be appearing at the card. Now, I understand why they did that. I understand why this promotion did that. But it would have been more correct to say, due to these guys not getting their South Carolina wrestling license in a timely manner, they're not going to be appearing on a show. So, kudos. Kudos to Turbo. Their show's coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Guys still don't have their license for. And so I'm really proud of TK and Josh that they gave guys a deadline and stuck to it. That's smart. They're trying to cover themselves. Also, I've mentioned this before. They're using, and this happens all the time. This is not unique to them. They're using someone else's license. So TK and Josh don't have the promoter's license. They're using someone's license. And so if they used an unlicensed wrestler, as happened in a situation just like this earlier this year, a guy was using another promoter's license, and an unlicensed wrestler wrestled on the show. I know he was unlicensed, and I know he's still unlicensed because he's booked for an upcoming. He's booked for an upcoming show in Seneca, and the promoter said, "Hey, you need to get your license," and he said, "Yeah, I'll get it." So the guy has admitted he doesn't have a license. He's wrestled on at least two shows in South Carolina this year that I know about. What I'm saying is, I think Pro Wrestling Turbo handled this well. Because you don't want to burn the bridge. You don't want to burn the bridge with your wrestlers. However, come on. If you are a wrestler and you're booked and you are pushed and you're put in a prominent position at a show in South Carolina, get your dang license. Don't take the booking. If you've got no intention of getting the physical, if you've got no intention of doing the physical, if you've got no intention of paying the registration fee, just don't take the booking. Just be honest. Because in this case, you're kind of covered, because the general public don't know that these two guys are not appearing because they didn't get their license. That's the reason. That's why, you know, Sons of Steel had to cancel Battle Zone. I thought they handled that very well. It was a death in the family. There was a funeral. They had to pull out of their booking at Palmetto Championship Wrestling. Thought they handled that very well. They announced it on social media. I thought, again, no bridges burned there. There's a way to do it. But to me, and this is just me, if I book you, and here's the thing, it goes both ways. If my show is in a month and you don't have your license yet, and we're in May, and if you're planning on wrestling in South Carolina, you can get your license the last 2 months of the year, and it's good for those 2 months and the next year. It's good for a year. So if you're in May or June, Unless you're bringing in a big name and they're only going to wrestle that one time. If a guy's going to get his license, he's already got it. And so you got to get – I mean, I think a month's plenty. Technically, you got to have the license 2 months. Technically, you just got to have the license by the day of the show. So it's got to be in the system by the Friday if your show's on that weekend. But a month is plenty of time. It literally, you go to the doctor, you get the physical, they fax in the paperwork, you get your paperwork notarized, you send in the check or whatever, boom, done. And there are some guys who do this right, and there's some guys who just, they're just not doing it, and it's ridiculous. And there's not a lot of trust in wrestling anyway. And I think the way that we handle our promotions and the way we handle our bookings, you know, just take care of your business. If you're booked in South Carolina, get a license. Period. End of discussion. Why would you put a promoter at risk of a significant fine? Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself at risk? Because if an unlicensed wrestler, and you guys know this because I've talked about it before, if you have an unlicensed wrestler appear on your card, it's a fine for the promoter, it's a fine for the wrestler. And then they can't, their license is suspended, or they're getting a fine because they don't have a license. So, and they can't get a license until that fine is paid. Let's talk about wrestlers on social media. All right. So on Facebook, I'm friends with lots of people, and I noticed this week a wrestler, and it was just some of the, it was depressing. Apparently his girlfriend cheated with another wrestler. And so it was just a lot of beer posts. It was a lot of sad posts. It was a lot of I quit posts. I'm quitting wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And then the guy shows up at the show the other night. Hey, we thought you quit. Da 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 da. And listen, if you've been in wrestling, if you're a wrestler, everybody says they quit and you have a bad day. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Here's the thing. If you're going to be on social media, I tell wrestlers this all the time. You got to have two accounts. You have your real account and you're friends with your grandma and you're friends with your, the kid, the person you went to school with or whatever. And then you got to have your wrestler profile. And you got to keep those two separate. You know, your wrestler profile, you shouldn't be, I know some guys, they literally don't have a personal profile. They just have their wrestling profile, Twitter, Facebook. They don't post personal stuff on there. They don't post family stuff. They're not even friends with some of their family members on Facebook. And so they just talk about wrestling. This young man, it's his personal account. And people are seeing this. First of all, if I'm a promoter and I see how you're conducting yourself on social media, and I see that, good grief, this guy's about to drive a car off a cliff. This guy's not stable. Is this really who I want to be bringing in? Is this really who I want to be putting a title on? And so you just got to be smart like that. I mean, you just got to be smart. There's a lot of people who do a really good, really good job with this. There are some people, there are some wrestlers who just have their wrestler account and they do post their personal stuff, but they do a good job of that. They don't post the laundry. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is don't air your dirty laundry on your wrestler profile. Keep those things separate. Like if I'm a wrestling fan, make me believe, if you're a wrestler, make me believe you're Ric Flair. Make me believe you got women everywhere. If you're a wrestler and your girlfriend breaks up with you and you, you're losing your mind, then you're no different than me. As a wrestler, you should elevate yourself above the public. You should make yourself seem larger than life. Now, on your personal profile, you do whatever you want to. And the people that know you outside of wrestling, they get that. They see that. But I'm just saying, on your wrestler profile, be a wrestler. Be a freaking wrestler. Cut promos. Talk about your matches. Get better. Don't talk about your girlfriend breaking up with you. Don't reveal on your wrestler profile that you're living in your mom's basement and your life sucks. Unless that's part of an angle, which then that would be everybody. That would be like 90% of the guys wrestling now. It's just crazy. This guy's not thinking. I talk to guys about this all the time. I mean, when I was helping out with 3 Count, I mean, this is... I try to stay in my lane. I'm not going to tell you how to do an arm drag, but I can tell you how to run Facebook. You know, I'm not going to tell you how to lock up. I'd tell you how to look at a camera and talk. And I guys would ask me, should I have 2 accounts? And I said, absolutely. And I believe you should have a profile, wrestler profile, and you have a wrestler page. And you use them for 2 different things. And I know one young man who, because of his presence on social media, got a pretty significant booking that we're going out of town for in August. And I'm excited to announce that. I'm waiting to get the go-ahead to wait for more details to announce that. But he told me they got in contact with me. They saw stuff on social media, saw some of my matches, some of my highlights, saw how I carried myself, boom, got the opportunity. So it's important. It's significant. I was talking to somebody the other day. There's just a weird vibe in South Carolina wrestling. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but 2018 and 2017 could not be any different. When you look at the talents involved, when you look at the promotions that were here last year, I talked about this before. They were here last year, not last year. You got titles, champions not even appearing. You had Friday night. We talked a little bit about it. Brad talked a little bit about it. You had the APW Tag Team Champions, the Jim Nasty Boys, appearing for Palmetto Championship Wrestling. And APW is the same night. So you had APW the other night. None of their titles were defended. I'd be interested to go back. Man, I've got all the results. I'd be interested to go back and see what percentage of the shows have either title not been defended or champions not even appeared. But two of their champions, Billy Brash is the APW Carolinas champion, Jim Nasty Boys the tag team champions. They're all they were all at PCW. I'm just saying it's weird. I'm not saying there's anything shady. I think it's great. Shane and William work together. I think that's great. A lot of cross-promotional stuff. A lot of PCW guys have wrestled in APW. So there's been a lot of back and forth, which is great. It's just weird. Not weird that there's cooperation, but if I'm a fan of Chester and I'm paying and I'm not seeing my champions there, I'm seeing them elsewhere, but not seeing my champions there. I think about last year. And I'm not trying to pick on APW, but all of their titles were so significant. Such great feuds. Really long title reigns. Brad and I talked about the James Drake and TJ Boss feud. You had Oscar and Boris, feuding over the Carolinas title. And Oscar, you won the Carolinas title there. We did the 3 Count Invasion at APW, which was a hot card and a hot night. Really great stuff. We almost, borderline riot with some people. Oscar defended the Carolinas title at a 3 Count show. Great cooperation there. It's just I don't know. It's just strange to me. You know, APW was building up the big Jim Nasty Boys high profile feud, and that's gone now with the injury to Shea McGrady. You've had PCW, Big Country, making his return there, PCW heavyweight champion. That's the first time that title, we're in May. That's the first time that title has been defended. January he did defend it. He gave Shea's rematch, so I apologize, I was wrong about that. But again, it had been 4 months since that title had been defended. It's things like that. Things like I personally believe that if you've got multiple titles, you shouldn't go more than two shows in a row without something being defended, without a title being defended. That's just me. That's just the way I think. I'm not saying you got to have a title defense every show, but I do think you need to have at least one title defense every other show. I would like to see, I like how Ring of Honor will do, they call them proven ground matches. They do, they'll have non-title matches. And that's a lot of the, if you go back and you follow New Japan Pro Wrestling, Okada just broke the record for like most title defenses. And if you go back and look, it's like it comes out to less than one title defense a month. But if you talk about in wrestling, one of the most significant titles, that's one of the most significant titles because the title matches mean something. They build it. You go back, it's just a different game. You go back, the NWA title used to be on the line every single night in different territories and different people, but you weren't seeing all of that on television. And if you were in Greenville, you didn't know what happened in Greensboro. You didn't know what happened in Spartanburg. You didn't know what happened in Raleigh. So it was almost like all these different buildings, all these different territories, you were kind of living in your own separate universe. And so what happened there, you didn't really know what was going on outside of there. So, I mean, I just see an evolution in wrestling, and some of it's really good. I want titles to mean something, and that means you got to defend them. You got to have them on your show. I feel like I've said this over and over and over and over and over again. If you have a title in a promotion, okay, especially if you know I'm a champion and this promotion runs every 2 weeks, my calendar is blocked out. My calendar is blocked out. If you're going to put the title on me, I'm gonna make it a point to be there. And to me, if you're a promoter, and I know some guys are getting opportunities in other places, and that's awesome and that's great. And if you can make more money, you should make more money. But the promoter's number one priority needs to be the promotion. So why would you put a title on somebody that's only going to be at half your shows? I guess you could say the same thing about WWE, but Brock Lesnar is a box office attraction. And some people love him and some people hate him. And I think Brock brings something to wrestling that we haven't seen in a long time. And when he defends the title now, it's an event. And I know many people would disagree with that. And that's totally fine. That's great. I will say this. I'm more likely to watch Raw or a pay-per-view if Brock Lesnar's on it. But that's just me. That's what's great about wrestling. That's what's great. We like what we like. We don't like what we don't like. So, lots going on. I got my ear to the ground on some things. I am seeing some things that are making me question some things in wrestling. I am seeing some experiments that maybe have come to an end. I'm seeing some gimmicks maybe changing. So make sure you stay tuned right here every week behind the scenes. Thank you so much. Thank you once again for being a patron of the Double Dropkick Show. We don't take it lightly. I take it very seriously that you would invest. You would invest in what we're doing, And you know, one of the gifts back to you, the new SOS Custom Wrestling Network patrons. You use the coupon code patrons, and you get 2 months for $2.99. You can sign up for a 7-day free trial. I would love to hear your thoughts. We're dropping a brand new series. We're starting a brand new series called In Their Own Words. This week, it's me and Boomer Payne talking about his last match in Pittsburgh. Got a lot of great, man. There's soon we're dropping CM Punk versus Christopher Daniel Max. We've got Punk footage from Pittsburgh area. And so really cool stuff that's coming on the network. And then we're getting ready to start a shoot interview series called 20-Minute Time Limit. And so if you don't have time to sit down and watch a three-hour shoot interview, we'll be shooting some of those, but then also breaking them down into bite-size segments. So anyway, I hope everybody has a great week. I'm recording this on Sunday night because I got a full day Monday. I got to head up to Table Rock Camp, get some things ready for youth and kids camp up there. But everybody, have a great week. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.